Well, good evening. It's good to see you tonight, and I appreciate very much the presence that we have of a number of visitors from the area. Appreciate that so very much, and appreciate your patience at the beginning. Talking about what the devil wants, I think one of his devices is technology. So, thankfully, we had a backup. So, appreciate that as well, but sincerely appreciate that we have visitors here from several places. It's good to see Brother David Lanius, that remember us getting acquainted in Washington many years ago, and to renew our acquaintance, and of course Brother Andy as well, and I'm sure I'm overlooking somebody else, but I appreciate everybody's presence as you're here tonight together to worship God, and appreciate the hospitality that's been shown to me throughout the week, and the attention particularly that you're giving to God's Word with me as we give our attention to the things that God has to say for us in His Word. And if you're visiting tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we want to encourage you to understand that the call of the gospel is to everyone who's lost in sin. That there is no sin too great, as we studied Sunday morning, there is no sin too big, there's no evil too drastic that cannot be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be saved from our sins, and in none other is there salvation. Acts 4 and verse 12, our salvation is only in Jesus. But even as Steve and we've prayed tonight about, as Brother Andy led us in prayer, thanks be to God for the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ that directs us toward heaven, that by the power of God removes our sins. And we pray that if you're not a Christian tonight, that you will become one, that in faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you will act upon that belief. That you will, as the Word of God says, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. That you will repent toward God and have faith in Christ Jesus that leads you to be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. To then walk in a new life, a newness of life given in Christ Jesus as a disciple of His. If we can help you accomplish that obedience to His gospel and your salvation, we certainly want to extend ourselves to that end to you as we close our study this evening, and also to God's people. We understand that if there's sin in our lives, we need to identify that through the Word of God. We need to repent of that and confess it in prayer to God, and we stand ready to assist in that as well, because the devil surely wants us to ignore sin in our lives. He wants us to put off obeying the gospel. He wants us to do anything but submit our hearts and our lives and our will to the will of Jesus. And so toward that end, let's study a little bit about what the devil wants. And to do that, remind ourselves of a passage that's familiar to many, perhaps in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, that says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." He said to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11 of Ephesians 6, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are in a spiritual conflict, a spiritual wrestling match with the devil. Now, the wrestler is in a contest. The wrestler is in a contest to try to throw the opponent, to try to pin the opponent, and in ancient times to try to put the hand on the neck, you know, to overwhelm and subdue the opponent. The devil is trying to subdue us. It is a spiritual battle, a spiritual wrestling match with an enemy who is extremely adept at deceiving and accomplishing his goal, unless and until we put on the whole armor of God to stand against his tricks and schemes. Because you see, the devil is the father of lies. He will lie to you and convince you and try to convince you that his lie is the truth. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus, in his dialogue there with some of the Jews, in fact, who had believed in him, and he challenges them to abide in his word, and he tries to explain to them that the bondage that he came to set them free from was the bondage of sin, and unfortunately they're resisting what he's saying. And in verse 37, Jesus said, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants, his seed, but you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you." There was no place in their heart and life for his word. And as he goes on to describe, he says, "Why don't you understand my speech?" Verse 43, "Because you are not able to listen to my word." Now, the devil doesn't want us to listen to the word of Jesus, doesn't want to give place to the message of Jesus Christ. And he explained why that was the case in their situation. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." Brethren, there is, when it comes to the devil, there's not a gray area. He says this is black and white, Jesus says. He is a murderer. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, the devil, with his lies, wants to make it so that there is no place in our hearts and in our lives for the truth of God's word. And he will, he is a master at manipulating and deceiving it with his tricks and schemes to persuade us not to give our whole heart and our whole life to the will of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, as has already been alluded to, Paul said, and notably his context is in a passage where he is now encouraging the Corinthian brethren to forgive the sinning brother who had been disciplined and who had repented and returned to the Lord. In verse 9, he said, "To this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things." You see, disciplining the unruly soul is a test of obedience, that we are faithful to the Lord. Churches need to apply the instructive discipline and the corrective discipline when necessary to try to save the soul. It worked in that occasion. On that occasion. And now he says, "Confirm your love to him, to this person. And whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." You see, one of the devil's devices is to keep us from forgiving each other. To hold a grudge against one another. To say, well, to hold somebody at arm's length. Well, I know he says he's repented, but he's going to have to prove that to me now. I'm just not so sure about that. And so, we don't really fully forgive the way God forgives us. He says that's a tactic of the devil. That's one of his tricks. I'm afraid sometimes we're just not... Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices, but I'm afraid sometimes we become ignorant of his devices. And that's what we want to explore some tonight, that we remind ourselves how deceitful the devil is and how he seeks his advantage over us in this wrestling match, this spiritual battle. You know, like a wrestler, you know, wrestlers try to anticipate the next move of their opponent to gain the advantage and overwhelm the opponent. But you know, I've never wrestled. Well, my brother and I wrestled all the time growing up, but not competitively. Well, we were pretty competitive with each other. But you know, you have to be aggressive as a wrestler if you're going to win. It seems to me you can't be passive and think you're going to win a wrestling match. My brethren, we need to recognize that spiritually. We have to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. We're in a match with an opponent that is trying to strangle us and destroy us spiritually. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 16 and verse 20 speaks of the fact that though this is a a strong opponent, yet the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We sang about the wonderful grace of Jesus. And with that grace that we find in Christ, there's also the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When by faith we're following His will, He says when we do that, when we live a faithful Christian life, Satan will be crushed under our feet. Well, we have to be militant, if you please, in that. And some just don't want to be very aggressive. But we're going to have to be aggressive with our opponent so that he does not gain an advantage. We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but nevertheless aggressive with truth in our own lives and helping to teach it to others that the devil may not have his way. You see, the devil wants lies where there should be truth. John 8:44, as we've already read, he is a liar and the father of lies. That's what he thrives on. And you know, he is so skilled at very often putting just enough truth, embed enough truth with the lie to deceive. To say, well, that kind of sounds different, but you know what he's saying is mostly true. And if we're not careful, we can start accepting the lie as God's word instead of being careful to let God's word establish the truth of the matter, whatever that particular subject might be, whether it's morally or doctrinally. God's word is going to reveal the truth. John 8:45, Jesus went on to say, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. How many times have we tried to show someone the truth, the word of Jesus Christ, the scriptures, and they don't believe it? You can turn them to Mark 16:16, and they say, well, I'm just not going to believe that. Well, the devil is having his way. You see, God's word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus would go on to say, which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Why is it tonight that you resist, or I resist, or you resist? Why is it we resist the Word of God? Because the devil is placing a deceptive lie in our heart to convince us that somehow or another we can get by without following that truth, without submitting to God's Word. It's a lie. There's no blessing apart from God's Word of truth. And so Jesus was emphasizing to those people, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The devil despises truth. He despises truth. Of course, part of that truth is being honest. We prayed about corrupt politicians. Well, there's a lot of corruption in this world. Corrupt politics, corrupt religion as well. And, you know, time was, and I remember the time when a man's handshake was his bond, and that was about all you needed. Because he was that honest. I remember I bought my first car on a handshake with the banker. Well, can't do that now. But you see, Ephesians 4 and verse 25, the Word of God says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we're members of one another. God wants us to speak truth to each other. Honest speech. And again, the devil doesn't like that. The devil wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to believe that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. That's what we're facing in our society today. He wants us to accept the lie. He wants us to go along with the lie. And if you don't go along with the lie, you're a bigot. You know. You see how that works? And so you get the peer pressure that you've got to conform, or you've got to be aggressive with the enemy and say, no, truth is truth. God established that truth when He created man and woman. No, but the devil, you see, he wants us to compromise that truth. He wants to deceive, and he's deceiving people. and they're mutilating their bodies, and they're destroying their souls. And you see, the devil loves it. That's exactly what he wants. Now, what are we going to do in our spiritual battle, wrestling match against him? The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, and that means we need to gird our waist with truth. Ephesians 6:14. As we put on the belt to hold up our pants, to as they would gird up their garment to go to battle, we've got to wrap ourselves with truth and let God's Word establish the way that it is and the way it shall be. The devil wants the lies to prevail, but in our wrestling match, we must hold up the banner of truth. Brethren, the devil wants darkness where there should be light. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. And there, in describing the gospel and those that were resisting it, the apostle begins in verse 1 by saying, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." He's talking about the ministry of the new covenant that he's described in chapter 3. And he goes on now, "We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now, note, some handle God's word deceitfully. Well, that's from the devil. He's the deceiver. And when we start not using God's word deceptively, we're in his camp. But Paul says that we're not doing that, right? But in contrast, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil wants to keep people in darkness. He doesn't want the light of truth to shine upon the sin that's in someone's life. And so, you see, he's going to work really hard to close somebody's mind when you begin to show the light of the truth that exposes their sin and calls them to repentance and salvation. When Jesus came into the world, John said, "Light has come into the world." In John, the first chapter, verse 9, he said, "That true light which gives light to every man is coming into the world." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." John 8 and 12, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." But the devil hates that light. And so, look at what he'll try to accomplish. John 3 and 19. "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." See, brethren, Jesus calls upon us to shine the light of truth, to expose the evil, and call people to come out of the evil into the will of God. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep that from happening. He's going to misrepresent you. He's going to be an obstacle to you. He's going to try to extinguish the light of truth. And yet we, as children of light, therefore, must not go back to that darkness in our hearts and in our lives, but instead, being children of light, we are to reprove that which is dark, both in the way that we live and with the truth that we are to be teaching. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, you were once darkness. We were in darkness, lost in our sins. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. See, once more, it is this conflict between what the devil wants. Stay in darkness. Stay in and don't let the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ to shine, because that will show the way of redemption. That will show the way of escape unto eternal life. No, keep them in the darkness. Brethren, we've got to keep speaking truth. We've got to keep shining the light. In the metaphor of the armor, we're to shod our feet, prepare our feet with the, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, is what the verse says, Ephesians 6 and verse 15. We've got to equip ourselves with the gospel. It is the light that Jesus has proclaimed through His apostles and prophets that leads people out of darkness. And Paul said, we're preaching that, but the God of this world, He's blinding minds. So once more, we have this conflict. Are we going to participate with the devil and be silent? Are we going to extinguish the light in our life? Of course, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. The city set on a hill can't be hid. Our life is to demonstrate and show that truth matters, that the light that Jesus gives is life, blessings now and eternal life when this life is over. Rather, the devil wants to keep you in darkness. My friend, he wants you to stay in the darkness of sin. Jesus says, come out of it. Through the gospel, be saved from the darkness of sin. The devil wants a place to stand in your life when none should be given. Ephesians 4 and verse 27 says, nor give place to the devil. Don't give an opportunity to the devil. And this is part of the insidious nature of the devil, is in his lies. The things around us often provide opportunities to him, and how we respond. For instance, in verse 25, putting away lying, speak truth with his neighbor. We already spoke to that point. You see, if most of the truth, a little deception. You know, I mean, everybody lies, right? That's what some people say. Everybody fudges the truth sometimes. Well, that's the devil's lie. No, they don't. But that's what he wants to convince you of. It's tax season. Ought to be telling truth on our tax returns, right? But who's going to ever know, right? The odds of being audited, nah, it's not going to. And so what happens? So people start fudging, start not telling the truth as they should. That's an opportunity. That's a place for the devil in the heart and in one's life that's going to destroy the soul. We've got to be honest, you see. Or again, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You see, he says, don't allow anger to find a foothold. Psalm 4 and verse 4, meditate on God's will. Remove those things that produce bitterness and anger and malice. Verse 31. He's looking for an opportunity in you because he wants you. He wants you. In Luke 22, familiar story about, you know, when Jesus talks to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to take that wheat, and he wants to rub you together and cause the chaff, and he wants to just scatter you. He wants you to be ineffective. He wants you to be lost. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I tell you, Peter, Jesus said, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied me three times, or denied that you know me three times. You see, like Peter, we are convinced we will not compromise. We are convinced we will not deny the Lord. And yet in that arrogant self-righteousness, we expose ourselves to the devil. He finds his place. He finds the crevice. He waits there. You know, the devil's patient. He can wait for years. He could take something that happened to you a long, long time ago, and He just can be patient, and He can wait for the right moment to lay the temptation before us. But you see, we've got to be aware of His device and not give Him that place. We've got to so develop a heart that is given to God that He's not going to find room in our heart to deny Jesus. We do that by standing in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul encouraged the brethren there in Corinth to stand fast. He said, "Watch, be vigilant, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Brethren, that's an individual call to us as Christians to be aggressive in our service to Jesus. We cannot be negligent. We cannot be apathetic and expect to win this wrestling match against the devil. But with firmness of faith, have the courage to do His will. In Colossians 2, "As therefore you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in Him," the verse says, "rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now, as we do that, then we remove the opportunities for Him to get a foothold, a beachhead, and to lie there and be there maybe dormant for a while until the right time to attack. We've got to anticipate that, and ourselves, we've got to grow in our faith. We've got to mature as Christians through knowing God's Word and living God's Word day by day. And so, as again the armor figure is used in Ephesians 6:16, we've got to take up the shield of faith, wherewith we may quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. See, He's looking for an opportunity that He can pierce the armor, that He can get past that shield, lead us into sin and death. No, but the shield of faith, built upon our confidence and trust in the faith, that our personal faith is strong and strengthened to not give Him a place to stand in our lives. Has He found a place in your heart? If He has, that can be remedied. See, Jesus is still ready to help remove the devil and His opportunities and His place in your heart tonight. The gospel is His power to save you from the devil and the sins that he would lead you into unto destruction. But you've got to have the faith to follow His word, His truth, rather than the devil's lies. You know, the devil wants confusion where there ought to be order. The Bible says that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. He was talking about a local congregation, the Corinthian church, and there was some confusion going on in how they were conducting their worship as they came together. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, and everything was to be done for edification, and they needed to learn how to use the miraculous gifts God had blessed them with, and they needed to know how to respect the presence of God and the orderliness that He expected. As He says, God's not the author of confusion, but a peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Oh, the devil loves chaos in a congregation. He loves instability. He loves disorder and disturbance. We've had to face a lot of that, it seems like, over the last few years from the COVID issues. But, you know, even before that, and even to this present hour, and the devil will find every opportunity he can to disrupt the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We need to recognize that, you know, and understand that it is heaven's wisdom that will remove disturbances when we rely upon the wisdom of divine truth rather than the wisdom of men. James, the third chapter and verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Now, he'll go on to say, and of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. And he'll contrast earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Now remember, the devil, he's all about earthly wisdom, wisdom of the flesh. And so, for example, I wanted to go to verse 17 to start with, because in 17 and 18 we read about the wisdom that's from above. Divine wisdom. What is it? Now see how this removes confusion and chaos, and that's why the devil hates it. Wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Oh, willing to yield. Brethren, are we willing to yield in issues of judgment? We're not talking about yielding truth. We're not talking about yielding, as thus saith the Lord, but are we willing to yield to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Or is it's got to be my way, or you're unfaithful? When we're just dealing with issues of judgment. See, that the devil wants that chaos. He wants that disorder. Heavenly wisdom, no, in purity, it's peaceable, gentle. You see, it's not serving self, is it? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Again, the devil, he's finding his opportunity, isn't he? You know, when we refuse to be the peacemaker, when we ought to be peacemakers, where peace should exist, where unity in truth and righteousness, the unity of the Spirit. But you see, that's what they needed in Corinth, because they had some confusion going on. And they needed to follow God's will, and they needed to respect each other, and apply God's truth in a way that would enhance their unity rather than disturb and destroy it. Because you see, the wisdom that's from beneath, the wisdom that's of the devil, look at in James 3, 14 through 16. It is self-willed. He says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't say you love the truth and you're driven by selfishness. You see that? He said that wisdom doesn't come from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Brethren, we need to recognize and distinguish between the truth that we must stand upon and not give the devil an opportunity to disrupt truth, and distinguish between that and areas of judgment where we can easily and properly yield to one another. You know, the Bible says subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5, about verse 20, 21. When we'll do that, we won't give the devil what he wants most. He wants confusion. Let's put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because you see, when we are driven by integrity, virtue, and the purity of life and truth, uprightness, then the devil's not going to be able to stir up confusion. We're going to seek peace and pursue it, as another passage teaches us we are to do. Don't be deceived, but be discerning and distinguishing. Philippians, allow me to add one other verse to that that just comes to mind in this, and it's Philippians 1, 9 and 10. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, or that you may distinguish the things that differ. We need the moral discernment as we combine love with knowledge so that we can choose proper things and not be disruptive to the cause of Christ. Devil loves confusion. Let's don't let him have his day. let's strive for the unity and the order and the peace and truth that God provides us. But you see, the devil now wants peace where there ought to be war. Think about this with me for a minute. In Jeremiah 6, the passage describes the sins of the people, from the prophets to the priests to the people in general. It says, because the least of them, even the greatest of them, this is Jeremiah 6:13, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, we need to realize that sometimes we need to be fighting. I said, oh, wait a minute, I thought you just said we're not supposed to do that. No, we're not supposed to fight when it's just issues of judgment and opinions where we can yield. But you see, the devil wants us to not fight when we ought to fight. When there ought to be the fight against evil and error. You see, he wants us to just be pacifists in this spiritual battle that's raging. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, the Word of God says, and Paul is describing this battle, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, he's noting there is a war. The devil doesn't want us to be, he wants peace, peace. No, he says, there's a war now, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We're to fulfill our obedience by relying upon the might, the strength of God that pulls down false arguments, that pulls down those high things that exalt themselves against what God says, against the evils of sin and the evils of error, so that truth prevails. We're to bring every thought we have into captivity. That is, bring them into submission to obey Jesus. Now again, brethren are being convinced that just peace at all costs, it seems. We just want things that are positive. We don't want to address at times those things that must be addressed to expose sin and error to save souls. The devil said he wants peace when there ought to be war. Jesus talked about the separating power of truth. We mentioned it last night. Jesus said, don't think I came to the earth to bring peace, but a sword, that is division, Luke 12:51. There's going to be a battle. There's a battle that is raging. The question is, are we going to engage the enemy, or are we going to give up our souls in the battle? That passage says in Ephesians 6:13, to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We got to do our part. We got to be engaged. The devil doesn't want that. Leave that to the preachers. They can have their preacher fuss, but we're not going to worry about it. Maybe it's divorce and remarriage. Maybe it's Holy Spirit indwelling issues. You know, a lot of brethren now think or seem to be persuaded the Holy Spirit's personally affecting them physically, and the presence of the Spirit in some way is guiding and moving them. Well, should we just ignore that? Should we just say that's a non-issue? No, the devil wants us to believe lies. The Holy Spirit works in our lives through the means of the truth that He has revealed, that He has confirmed with miracles and by the inspiration by which it's been spoken and written. He works in our lives through that truth. You see, the devil says, oh no, don't fuss about that. Or any of a number of other subjects that will always be the case. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. The devil says, no, just be at peace. peace, peace, when there is no peace. On the other hand, the devil wants war where there should be peace. See, that's got to flip it around. Got to see both angles. We've got to not be ignorant of his device, because you see, sometimes we're not supposed to be fighting. We already mentioned and alluded to that. But look at James 4:1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your own desires for pleasure that war in your members? You see, the devil wants us to be fighting about the wrong things and at peace about the wrong things. And we've got to let God's truth define both of those areas for us. You know, in Genesis 13, there was a feud between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. They had huge flocks, so large that the land couldn't hold them all, couldn't bear them all. And they were fighting, no doubt, over grazing land, over waters. And Abram takes the lead. He says to Lot, let there be no conflict between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, between you and me, because we are brethren. You see, the devil wants us to forget that we're brethren, that we're in the family of God, that we share a common faith, a common mind, a common will to do God's will. He wants us to be at conflict and strife rather than at peace in the family of God, where there ought to be peace. He says wars and fights, they come because you get concerned about your own selfish interests and pleasures. Look at Ephesians 4 and 31 in this respect, brethren. It's so helpful to us to remember when at times issues arise or situations we're confronted with, and the devil tempts us to be aggressive, to justify ourselves, to defend ourselves. But the verse says, let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We've got to remember that we're brethren. The devil wants us to forget that. He wants us to fight against each other. He doesn't want us to be of one mind and one spirit. He doesn't want that at all. And yet, if we will commit ourselves to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, then we will form our faith upon the foundation of that unity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so on in Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. And we will be careful to put that into our own lives as we treat one another. Romans 12, 14 through 21 urges and admonishes us as members of the body of Christ to let love be without hypocrisy. Verse 9, abhor what's evil and cling to what's good. If we're going to abhor evil, that means we're going to be at war with evil, but we're going to be at peace with those things that are good. The devil doesn't want that among us. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That is, prefer each other above ourselves. He'll go on and talk about that more in verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. That is, don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Be humble. See, he says, repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for the good things that are in the sight of all men. As much as in you as possible, be at peace with all men. That includes your brethren. He says, as much as we can be at peace with others, be at peace with them. And otherwise, he says, brethren, don't avenge yourself. That's not our role, to be avengers. Give place to the wrath of God. He'll right every wrong. He'll judge the wicked. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by the devil's tactic that someone is being evil with you and you've got to lash out. You've got to defend yourself. You've got to stand your ground. Well, yes, against evil and error. Absolutely. We stand our ground of truth. We do what we can to be at peace, and we give place to God's wrath. Above all, we seek to be at peace with God and be at peace with the people of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, Paul said above all this, and you know, he talked about putting on the whole armor of God, and he said also, pray. Look how he says that in that passage. Verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, let's just make the application. If I'm praying for Steve, it's going to be a lot harder for me to be at war with Steve. Now, there may be some things Steve and I need to address. We may need to work some things out with the guidance of truth. But if I'm praying for Steve, and if Steve's praying for me, you think we can work that out in truth? See the devil's tactic? He gets us to stop praying for each other. He stops getting us to valuing our peace as God's people. And he drives the wedge and foments the conflict where there ought to be peace. See, he'll work both sides of it. He wants us to say peace, peace, when we ought to be fighting against evil and error and sin, and he wants us to be at war when we ought to find the resolution in truth because of our common faith and love for Jesus and our relationship together with Him in His body. It's an ongoing effort, isn't it? It requires us all to be growing and maturing in our faith. The devil wants senselessness where we ought to come to our senses. In 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, the man of God, he said in that text, the man of God is supposed to be not quarrelsome, but gentle to all, and able to teach, and patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Once more, here's the devil. He's got a snare. He's trying to ensnare and capture souls. And he says, the servant of the Lord, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to teach His gospel and live His gospel, then we've got to not fall into His trap. Don't be quarrelsome. Be gentle. Capable of teaching, but with patience and humility, the goal is correction, so that people can be freed from the bondage of sin and death. They can be brought to repentance. You know, truth can help calm the spirit if we'll apply the sober thinking that goes along with truth. Come to our senses and escape the snare of the devil. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We're to walk carefully. We're to watch all about ourselves. The devil wants us to lose our mind. He wants us to get so wrapped up in the moment that we, again, revert to this self-defense and self-promotion and self-seeking rather than humbly repenting when sin is in our life, to escape His snare. Brethren, perhaps if we will remember to put on the helmet of salvation, that will help guide and direct us instead of yielding to Satan's snare to destroy our salvation and lose our souls. And finally, the devil wants tolerance towards sin where there ought to be resistance. We cannot certainly advocate sin. In James, the 4th chapter, and in verse 7, James 4 and the 7th verse says, therefore submit to God. Now, the therefore is that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. You want God's grace? You want the wonderful grace of Jesus? Then submit to God. Yield to His will in your life. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You see, humility will resist the worldliness, as that context has described. You know, the living by lusts in verse 2, you murder and covet. Loving the world, you become an enemy of God, verse 4. He says if you want grace, God's going to resist you if you're prideful, so you've got to give that up, resist the devil, humble yourself, lament and mourn and weep. Now have a godly sorrow that turns to God. Humble yourself in His sight and He will lift you up, verse 10. Brother, the devil doesn't want us to do any of those things. He wants us to have tolerance for evil and error instead of resisting him. Peter said, resist the devil steadfast in the faith. It won't be our opinions that resist the devil, it'll be the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, Jude 3. We cannot tolerate, we cannot endorse, we cannot have fellowship with error and evil. But instead we must stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Well, I appreciate your patience with me in looking at these as we close these topics. Let's remember, brethren, we're in a battle. We're in a wrestling match. We're in a war against the devil. He is cunning. He is deceptive. He is powerful. And yet, we can, by the power of God, we can, through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ, have victory over the devil. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. That we can stand against his schemes. We can identify them, we can know them, and in truth and faith in Christ, we can be victorious. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to say, let somebody else fight the fight. But we each must stand and fight and put our hand on his neck, crush him under our feet of faith and reliance upon God by taking up the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and allow it to remove the sin in our heart and life and guide us in the way of righteousness. You know, John said in 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The devil's in the world. He's the god of this world. But Jesus is greater. And in Revelation, the 12th chapter, those who overcame the devil did so by the blood of Christ, by the word of their testimony, the word of God, and they did not love their lives unto death. Self-denial. The gospel invitation is to come to the blood of Christ if you want victory over the devil. The blood of Christ will wash your sins away, and it is exactly that reason that the Scripture says be baptized into the death of Jesus, because that's where the benefit is found. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. It is the washing, cleansing blood of Jesus is met in baptism, that you might be cleansed of your past sin. There be victory over the devil in your life. And then to live the Word of God, abide in it, to be free. And to offer ourselves, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. You want victory over Satan in your life? That victory is achieved through Christ, through His blood, through His word, and by a self-denial that serves Him in everything that we say and do. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you begin that life tonight? Water is available. It's ready. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and He has power over the devil, then tonight, repent of your sins toward God. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then be faithful as a child of God. And if we can help you correct sin in your life as a Christian by praying together to our Father, He will hear our prayers. He will cleanse us by the blood of His Son. If you're subject to His call, we urge that you come now while we stand and we sing.
Yield not to temptation.